Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Oh, Canada. Oh, perfect. The show starts and we get probably the Canada and 30 on Sportsnet right now in the lead up to the U.S. and Finland at the Four Nations.
Yeah, I'm hyped up for Finland and U.S. now after watching Canada and Sweden last night. And I mean, because we were at the JCC, which is a great event, by the way, and great to being there. So we didn't get to watch much of the game live.
Yeah.
On a rewatch properly tonight to this morning and even some of it last night. It was fun, man. Like, I want to see more of this hockey. Like, I can't wait for Olympics. I can't wait for the World Cup of hockey. Like, I think the intensity can still ratchet up a little bit.
Yeah.
But with more is on the line, like, I can't, like, it was a good reminder of what this can look like.
The idea of all-star games on are great because it's like, hey, we'll put all the best players in the world together and see how it goes. But obviously, there's no intensity in those games. And yeah, sure, you can yell in at the inbox like, oh, in the 80s, the Wales conference against the Campbell conference and Gretzky would score four goals. And it's like, yeah, it was the 80s. It's 40 years ago. Like, what are we talking about? But you watch this and it's like, okay, this is an all-star game and the guys are playing to their level. They are playing with that intensity. And I know people had their doubts. I don't think you can have those doubts after watching last night.
No, and it wasn't like the most overly physical game. Like, guys weren't, you know, completely...
Tell that to Shea Theodore, Seth. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, he gets injured. No, I mean, things happen, for sure. But, like, it wasn't the type of game where guys were trying to run one another through the boards. Like, you know, McKinnon threw a couple big hits. We're watching it here. Like, there is some of it there, right? But I think Canada and U.S., that's going to be another level of intensity, right? It's the first game. It's kind of feel-out process. If this was like the low level, that's pretty good, right? Like, it's the first game, Canada and Sweden. And at the very least, it was an uber-competitive all-star game.
Yeah.
But like with people caring and putting stuff on the line, Sidney Crosby looking like he's 27 years old, not 37 years old.
I wish I could feel 27 and not 37.
Yes.
The way Sidney Crosby played last night. I mean, coming into the tournament, you didn't really know what you were going to get from Sid, given the injury, and there was this doubt, was he going to play? And then he's not able to play center, probably because of the injury. You know, they're just, well, you know what, Sid? While your arm heals, like, just let McKinnon take the faceoffs. Oh, wow, big downgrade. But he puts out this virtuoso three-assist performance. And look, the first assist was great. The second one, elite as well, finding Mark Stone coming in as the trailer. But the one in overtime is just like, I feel like it's an overrated, underrated Thursday. Of the three assists, the overtime assist was the most underrated for me because of how high level a play it was. He gains the blue line, then drops it back, freezing everybody on Sweden for Mitch Marner to come in at full tilt and go for the goal.
Yeah, and then he tags up to make sure that he gets onside as well, right? Yeah. It wasn't just like, hey, I'm just going to throw this puck back. Like, make sure you tag up and allow Mitch Marner to come with speed, and that's a pretty terrifying proposition. And with everybody getting frozen, Marner just does his thing. You can just look at it as, okay, Marner just did everything, and it was just a kind of a simple back pass, but I thought there was a lot more to it. Like, that's a very smart play, an underrated play.
It's nice to see Sidney Crosby still be the best player on the ice, even at 37 years old. And Canada, for what it's worth, I mean, I feel like 4-3, Sweden getting it to overtime flattered them a little bit, but after the injury, you know, they certainly started to gain a level of confidence and found their game a little bit, Sweden, but just the high end of Canada is just, that's the story of this tournament.
Yeah.
Can anybody go with the likes of McDavid, McKinnon, Crosby, and that top six that Canada's really able to put out there?
The only ones that come close are the Americans again.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think on the back end, things have, with Quinn Hughes out, it gives Canada a clear edge, even with Shea Theodore injured, because they have Cale Makar. Yeah. I'll still take the blue line that has a single best defenseman.
Yeah.
And that's the case now. But the forward group, so Jack Hughes and Austin Matthews.
Mm.
Who else?
Jack Eichel.
Yeah, so that's three.
Yeah. The Tkachuks.
That's five.
Maybe Matthew, though, more than Brady right now.
I like Brady a lot. I'll give him five. I'll give him five. So that's five. Like, that's where the Americans, you know. Like,
yeah.
If Hughes wasn't injured, like, I think it sways it that much. Like, in Hughes being out, you're losing a top five player in the league so far this year. That makes a massive impact.
I think, you know, it's if you were to, like, draft the two teams, right? Let's say Canada and Sweden. The point I'm trying to make is, like, you know, the only player you might take in the top five of drafting forwards is William Nylander. The way Pedersen's playing right now
100%.
Versus anybody on Canada, like, sure, peak Pedersen, you might put him in that discussion, but he's nowhere close right now. And I didn't think Pedersen was bad or anything last night. Like, he was fine. But, you know, Sweden, it feels like to me in this tournament, is going to have a Canucks problem where it's like, we need Pedersen to be a star and he's not a star, because, yeah, he should be their number one center. You've got other guys. Zibanejad looked probably the roughest of the bunch yet last night. Eriksson Ek's fine. He scored. Lindholm's fine, especially in a fourth line center role. But, you know, it's going to be hard for Sweden to really do any damage in this tournament if Pedersen isn't playing like a number one center.
No, and, you know, we spoke to Woodley yesterday, and he kind of mentioned that Philip Forsberg has been very rough. We've had a lot of people texting in about, you know, should the Canucks trade for him or not. And he's like, he's had a really rough year if you watch him. And he was really rough last night, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's something amiss with a couple of those players. Like, what happened in Sweden this summer? Like, what's going on?
Was Tomorrowland in Sweden this year? Like, what's going on?
What is happening? But
I sound really old saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yes, very good. Yeah, everyone's just shaking their head.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah. But I mean, so, like, we were hopeful. We talked yesterday about Pedersen. Yeah, we hope, right? He goes and has a good tournament, and he parlays that into playing better with the Canucks. And he wasn't bad, you're right, but he wasn't great. But at the same time, did people expect him all of a sudden to, like, find the burst he hasn't had all year? He's had moments of it here and there, right? But he can't sustain it. And he wasn't all of a sudden going to find that and sustain it. Now, he may have it at times, like maybe against Finland, it'll pop up. Maybe against the Americans, you'll see it pop up a little bit here and there, right? But until he finds that burst until he finds that power in his game again, like, he's not going to dominate. And I think we're all waiting for that to happen, and it just doesn't seem realistic that it's going to be happening in season.
And again, he was fine. I thought he connected play well. He did some things well, but, you know, he needs to be a difference maker for Team Sweden. He needs to be a difference maker for the Canucks, and it's just not there.
Yeah.
And I'm not expecting it to be there until he has a full offseason to really get back some of his explosiveness that he's lost for whatever reason, the knee tendonitis or whatever's been ailing him for the last 12 months.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Tobias from Pomo. It says Forsberg looked terrible yesterday, looked slow, and Petey was exactly the same as he's been.
Yeah.
Fine.
He's been fine.
Been fine.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, if I go home and I ask my better half, like, how's everything? Fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different type of fine.
It's different, but it's kind of the same.
Yeah,
it's like, fine is fine, but it's not good.
Well, yeah, it's not good. And it's not also not good as far as expectations.
Yeah.
You know, people are somewhere like, fine, he went 2 for 12 with one shot hit and one shot. Like, yeah, I mean, he wasn't great. Like, he wasn't bad. He wasn't great.
Like, no, but if you watch his shifts, like, yeah, he was fine. Like, not a lot happened either way on his shifts. And
that's not an endorsement. That's not like saying, oh, he was great.
Yeah.
Like, be excited. Like,
I'm telling you, they need, like, Sweden, the Canucks, they still need more from Elias Pettersson. But if you were expecting him to break out just from wearing the Team Sweden jersey, it didn't happen last night.
No.
Their next game up against Finland. We're going to dive more into this. Justin Bourne's going to join us. Landon Ferraro will get his take on the game last night as well. That's coming up after 5 o'clock, but let's get to it. It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Four! That's your home.
Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And Canucks, you know, looking ahead and thinking about Pettersson, who could be in line for a post-Four Nations breakout? I wanted to say second half breakout, but it's not truly a full half of season. It's what, 27 games the Canucks have remaining?
It's a third of the season.
So who's in line for a final third of the season breakout for the Vancouver Canucks post-Four Nations faceoff?
I mean, we all wanted to be Pettersson, but, you know, alas.
So what is a breakout for Pettersson?
Point per game for 27 games.
PPG for 27 games?
Yeah. Which is like far better than anything he's done this season.
So if he were to get like 10 goals, 17 assists, you'd be over the moon.
Yeah, I'd be
pretty happy.
I'd be like, I'm happy. It's all okay. This is not to say like endorsement and keep this guy forever. Don't explore things in the offseason if he gets a point per game. It's more about that's the realistic ceiling I see based on where his game is. And it's not like he's only played 25, 30 games or even 40 games and he's still trying to find it. This guy's like, we're on to 50 games.
Yeah.
Now we're talking playing in the Four Nations. We're not talking about...
It's almost a 100-game sample now if you go back to like post-All-Star break last year.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to count that either, right? So we're not talking about, you know, a very short-term thing and there's going to be a turnaround. I do think there will be some positive point regression, like where he'll gain some points and do more and be a bit more productive as the season goes on here. But I don't know if it's going to be anywhere near good enough that people are going to feel satisfied about it.
Yeah.
But realistically speaking, if he's a point per game, 10 goals, 17 assists, let's say, that would be his best stretch of hockey in a year.
Yeah. And, you know, that would put him at 61 points for the year.
Yeah. Still not great.
21 goals, 61 points for the year. Just in a hypothetical, like, you know, that's what he ends up with. And right now, you know, compare that to what he's done through the first 49 games that he's played. He's played at a 56-point pace through 49 games, missed a handful because of that upper body injury during the holidays. And so, yeah, it would be a pretty significant uptick in production if he were able to put up a point-per-game type of play. And obviously the Canucks need that, but that's kind of a breakout for this version of Elias Pettersson right now.
Yeah, sadly, that's where it's at, right?
And if he could take the game even more, like, be more of a aggressor on the power play and do some of those things that we haven't seen him do as well this year. Like, those are all positives I think you can take for Elias Pettersson if he's able to find that post Four Nations. But I'm not expecting, I don't know, like, I'm not expecting a guy to like find his burst at this stage of the season. You know, we're towards the end. If it wasn't there for all this time, it's not going to magically be there, as we've talked about.
No, it doesn't just kind of come out of nowhere.
So other possibilities.
So I know we're all enamored with a handful of games he's played.
Yeah.
But we haven't really seen Filip Chytil break out yet.
No, we haven't.
Like, a breakout is, you know, more than just a handful of games. He's looked terrific. He's been their most dangerous forward in the games he has played overall, and he's made an impact, and he looks very exciting. But can he do it for the next 27 games? Can he put together a 30-game stretch where he's, say, close to a point per game, where he's a very productive, legitimate top-six center?
3 points in four games so far for Filip Chytil. Has looked like the most dynamic Canucks forward on the roster since coming over from the New York Rangers. His best season is 45 points in 74 games. So, you know, that's not a huge number. That's not a great pace. But the bet that the Canucks made is that this is a player with more ice time, can have a higher level of production. And that's something you're trying to see if it translates. He's averaged 18.5 minutes since becoming a Canuck. I don't think there's a better candidate for a post Four Nations breakout than there is Filip Chytil.
No, he's
the guy.
He is the guy because he's also the most motivated.
Yeah.
And I even noticed the post he put on social media thanking the Rangers, but then he mentioned how excited he is to be in Vancouver, and we spoke to him post game a couple games ago too, and he expresses his excitement after the Leafs game and talked about, you know, how stoked he is to be here and can't wait to go to Czechia and come back and you know, follow up what he's done so far. And we're talking about a guy who's in his mid-20s who's been on the Rangers now, has played over 300 games and been around since he's been 18 years old, and he's finally getting that chance he's been looking for. And I think that can be very inspiring for some people. And I think that gives him an edge to, at least for the final third of the season, be productive.
Yeah.
There's another challenge to do it again next year and become that player. But I think he is the most highly motivated as well.
Doing it for 30 games is different than doing it for 82, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be a positive situation if that's what happens with Hedl here, but still a lot to prove for him going into next year that he can be a true impact forward for an entire season. The other two names that are, I guess, obvious, Dakota Joshua and Nils Höglander. And both showed promising signs while the Canucks' record really started to turn around in the lead up to the break here.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Joshua more than Höglander.
Yes, I mean, Höglander had that kind of spell. He had the 4-game stretch where he had 3 points, 1 goal, and 2 assists.
Yeah.
But that was 5 games ago now.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know if Höglander has turned it around yet. He's a candidate for it.
But he has done some good things even outside of production.
100%. He's played a lot better. I do think a lot of the production is going to come for him too in the second half, the final third of the season here.
Yeah.
Joshua is the one where, does he have the higher ceiling because of the role that he plays and the trust that the coach has in him? How often do you see him out there late in games or in critical situations? The coach likes to have him there because of how good he is winning battles along the boards. He gets pucks out. He pressures well. And he's pretty intelligent with defending in his own zone. And the length, I think, is something they like, especially when they have the big defenseman in the back end protecting the lead late in games. So I think him, if he finds some offense and if he can get hot a little bit here, he can actually be the biggest impact because he's also got paid this offseason. I know Höglander got a contract too, but that was for potential, whereas Dakota Joshua got a UFA deal based on what he did last year as a pretty impactful power winger that plays on your second and third line.
18 goals in 63 games last season. He's obviously not going to get anywhere close to that this year, but I think, you know, more than anything, okay, he hit the goal against San Jose, but speaking of burst, he came back from that injury and it seemed as though he had a little bit more burst back. He's been through a lot. You know, I don't have to explain the situation. We all know what happened. He's beyond it, thankfully, but it was a really tough start and a really slow start for Dakota Joshua, given everything that happened, the situation that you're getting close to training camp and then, you know, just everything you did in the offseason completely derailed by your situation. You get it sorted out. You're given a clean bill of health, but now you've got to try and ramp up while everybody's starting to get into midseason form. That's not exactly easy if you're Dakota Joshua. And it hasn't felt like he's gotten anywhere close until this past couple weeks of the season. So I think more than anybody outside of Philip Hedl, I'm excited for Dakota Joshua to see what he's able to do over the final third of the season.
Yeah, because he's such a rare player type.
Well, they missed his size in the lineup so badly when he was out.
They really did, but they've also added now a real component with Philip Hedl, who's 6'3", and just plays so fast.
And O'Connor.
And O'Connor, who's an incredible forechecker and has great speed, and he's massive. And we know how big the back end is, but the Canucks have become significantly faster as well. And I think that also plays a big part into allowing some breakouts to happen. Because even if Pedersen does, does a point per game or whatever the rest of the season, I think a lot of it will come down to how the team is playing.
Yeah.
If they're playing faster, generating more chances, he has wings that can get on the forecheck and get pucks out and allow him to have a bit more space to make plays. And if those things happen, then you can be in line for having Höglander, Joshua, Hedl, at least 2 or 3 of these guys really break out here over the final third. And if the Canucks are going to be a playoff team and perhaps even do more than just win, you know, get in, that's kind of what they have to find here. They have to find something special as a group.
Jokes per 60 coming in. Rick Tocchet will break out and give up the dump and chase after watching Canada play.
Yeah.
You know, Tocchet is one of the coaches on Team Canada.
He is. I mean, I see all the, it's funny because, again, like the whole Tocchet conversation, how the team plays, the Canucks have played versus how he wants them play are two very different things.
Yes.
But it's fair to question why are those not merging?
Yes. And they started to, it felt like.
Oh, well, they have recently, right? Yeah. And I think that's what you want to see, you know, get built up on, and get, you know, they can build on here.
So you mentioned the speed that Hedl and O'Connor bring. If we think about trade targets, have they addressed team speed already? Or is that still an ongoing trait that you think the front office is still looking for?
I think they would still probably like to add a bit more speed.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can't be fast enough almost in the league now. And if you look at how some of the teams that Rutherford have built in the past, how they played and how fast they were, I think that's something to kind of keep an eye on. And if you look at what the Canucks might be looking at here, whether it's a center or whether it's a winger, I think somebody that can actually skate matters. And that's, and what they ultimately do with Besser, I think, is going to shade that too, because Besser isn't the fastest player.
No.
And if he's not staying here, are you upgrading on his speed too?
Yeah. Are you at least finding somebody that maybe is a bit more fleet of foot to replace Besser in the future?
Yeah, because, I mean, if you don't bring in somebody who's faster, unless you're talking about a short-term stopgap, you know, a year or whatever, but if you bring in somebody to be part of the solution, so to speak, that doesn't have pace, why not just sign Besser, who you know can score 30 goals, scored 40 last year now, right? So that's going to be the one that they might upgrade the biggest. And the other is, ultimately, what other center they add.
Yeah.
And because Pugh Suter, like he's really good, but he's not the fastest guy.
No.
If you upgrade on that speed on the third line or even the second line, Hedl moves down or whatever it is, like there's still room for this forward group to get faster than they are.
In the Canucks Central Roundup, USA-Finland tonight. So you'll get to see what that looks like. Finland decimated by injuries. Going to be a tough one for them on their back end, but you still look at their forward group and sure, their bottom six looks like kind of an NHL bottom six a little bit, but their top six has still got quite a few horses like Sasha Barkov, Sebastian Aho. They still got some big time threats in that Finland top six. And I think everybody's really curious to see what this U.S. team really looks like.
Yeah.
You know, they're so hyped up right now that you wonder, are they going to be able to live up to that hype? This U.S. team. That's the question they're going to have to answer here.
Yeah, and I think they are going to look really good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't foresee them looking poorly. I mean, we just talked about earlier, how many of the forwards would you put on Team Canada? They have at least five.
Yeah.
That, like, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
At least.
So that's coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll keep you updated on what happens in that game. Of course, you can watch on Sportsnet stream on Sportsnet Plus. Canada officially losing Shea Theodore for the remainder of the tournament. The Golden Knights confirmed he is out week to week with an upper body injury. So they'll have some more LTIR money to spend. But this is a tough loss for Canada. Not having Shea Theodore, obviously, I think of Canadian defensemen, he is the second best scorer in the National Hockey League this year, only second to Cale Makar. So you really lose an element that they were expecting out of him because, we know, guys like Sanheim, who's going to fill in, and Colton Parayko were brought to play for Team Canada more for their defensive chops and what they can do on the penalty kill and those types of roles. So this Shea Theodore injury, it's certainly not nothing for Team Canada.
No, it's a big loss, especially because of how well-rounded Shea Theodore is. And it's funny because as much as Canada has a lot of talent, there's still a pretty significant drop-off from the guys that are already on Team Canada versus the guys that are not there. And that's why a guy like Thomas Harley might be a bit of a surprise off the cuff. But when you start really digging a bit deeper, you're like, okay, makes sense. Like, he's young. He has a lot of potential, been on Team Canada before. And if you're thinking about the long game, it makes sense to kind of have him be involved versus somebody who might be a little bit older.
Harley's been really good. And
he really has. We
are both fans of his game. You know, I went to NHL.com and I sorted points scored by defensemen, Canadian defensemen. And like the guys that aren't there, Evan Bouchard, you could argue, should be there for sure, but he's not. Dougie Hamilton, Jacob Chychrun, Mackenzie Weegar. So those are kind of your options. Mind you, all those guys outside of Chychrun are right shots. So if you're looking to fill a left shot, which is what Shea Theodore was, now we're talking Chychrun, Bowen Byram, Owen Power. Like the drop-off on the left side is almost more significant for Team Canada than it is on the left side, which is somewhat interesting given righty defenders are normally what are harder to find in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and Harley, like Theodore, plays in every situation.
Yeah.
Unlike Chychrun doesn't PK a lot.
Nope. He doesn't. And so it's going to be Thomas Harley if Canada gets another injury. It sounds like from Chris Johnston that they're bringing Harley out to Boston for an emergency situation where they get another injury on the Team Canada roster. Stan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Coming up, Justin Bourne, Real Kipper and Bourne, going to join us. His take on Team Canada next on Sportsnet 650.
Like, what's going on?
Was Tomorrowland in Sweden this year? Like, what's going on?
What is happening?
I understood that reference.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.